welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Father, we bless you in this place, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're continuing to do, God. We bless your holy name. Father, we love to just stay in your presence, God. It's in your presence, Lord, that there's a fullness of joy. And Lord, it's your joy that brings us strength, God. And it's not a joy like some would think, but it's a joy and it's a trust, knowing that you are faithful, God. No matter what we face, no matter what we go through, no matter the challenge, God, we trust you because you are with us and you are going to deliver us and you are going to bring us through. You are a faithful God. So I thank you for that outpouring of your joy, God. Your joy. Your joy. It's your joy, Lord. Yeah. Causes us to raise a hallelujah in the midst of a storm. It's your joy. Jesus. So good. Nobody like you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just share for just a little bit. Would that be all right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you know that we can't know everything that the Lord does in these times, right? Because there's so much that he's doing in the lives of his people. And he's so amazing that he can touch this one and he can touch this one and he can heal this one and he can set this one free and he could, you know what I'm saying? Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to keep you long. I want to share what I believe the Lord laid on my heart. It's in the same vein, the same line as what Pastor Barry has been preaching on, and so I may or may not have some of the scriptures that he has been sharing, but just felt like the Lord wanted me to encourage you and maybe challenge you this morning. I'm never here to bring condemnation or make people feel bad. It's not that. I pray that when the Lord brings a word, that it's something that stirs you and provokes you. You know what I'm saying? That causes you. See, we need to consistently be growing in the Lord, right? And so none of us have arrived. And so we want to be in that place of being teachable. Amen? Being open. Okay, God, is there something in my life that needs correction? Is there something in my life that needs to be, you know what I'm saying? And so we always want to be open to the Lord. And so I want to talk to you today about being a good soldier. Is that all right? I want to talk to you because we're all soldiers in the army of the Lord, right? We've been enlisted. Is that the right word? Okay. At any time you can correct me. You can say, And recruited. I love that. I love that. Praise God. I have a funny recruiting story. You guys have heard it about Pastor Barry when he was, how old was he? Like, how was he 10 or 12, Chanice? When he filled out him and was it Danny Catlett? They filled out all those cards at the post office for recruiters. Hundreds. Yeah. Yeah. If you know my husband, he's never done anything small. You know what I'm saying? It's always like go big or go home, right? And so the recruiters begin to call, and I don't know, it took a long time to get them to stop calling and stop coming. But yeah, so that's the wrong way, but we've been recruited, amen, by the living God. How exciting is that? By God Almighty, right? The one that gives us the very breath we breathe, has recruited us, has enlisted us into his army. And so we want to be a good soldier, right? We want to be a good soldier. And so 2 Timothy 2, like I said, I'm not going to keep you long, but 2 Timothy 2 says, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. 3, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And right there, it's clear that as a good soldier, we're going to have to endure suffering. And nobody likes to hear that, but Pastor's really been preaching on this so profoundly and so greatly, to such a place that we have to understand, it's not that God puts this on us, okay? But he is able to use suffering. He is able to use those challenges, those trials, those tribulations in our life to grow us, right? And so as a good soldier, we're going to have to endure some suffering. Can somebody say amen? All right. So we endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. What does that mean? That means we have to stay focused, right? And here's the deal. We're in this life. I get this. We have things that we need and have to do. I understand that. But our focus always has to be him first. We can't get distracted. That's what the enemy wants to do, is to distract us from what the Lord has called us to do, to distract us, right? And to cause us to pull back. But we want to be a good soldier. And so we don't want to be to get distracted by the things of the world. 5 says, and athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. Hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I am saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. And the Bible would even say, he that hath an ear, amen, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So have an ear, have a spiritual ear this morning to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. And 8 says, always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. But the word of God cannot be chained. Why do you think the enemy wants to steal the word of God from you? Because he understands this right here. It cannot be chained. The word of God is freedom. The word of God is victory. The word of God brings life. Amen. It cannot be chained. So I'm willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, if, two-letter word that is very powerful, and you got to get a hold of it. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. Come on, somebody. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he still remains faithful. For he cannot deny who he is. And the Bible says, remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. Stay with me. 15, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Don't get off into works. Don't hear something that I'm not saying today. We realize that salvation is a free gift, right? Not by works. We get that. But the Bible also says that faith without works is dead. Okay, so there is some working in our life, right? It's not to get salvation, but there is some working in our life. Amen. If we're people of faith. Right? Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to pure, godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus, possibly. Probably not. Probably didn't say that right. That's all right. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. How many knows that there is a movement in our country to turn people away from the faith in God? Amen? And we've got to rise up as his army and say, no, we know the truth. We're going to declare the truth. We're going to be bold in his name. Amen. And we're not going to get deceived. We're not going to fall into the trap that so many have fallen into. And the danger that the reason that they have fallen into those traps is because they have slowly begun to entertain some of their thoughts, some of those ideas that the world is giving. You can't entertain. We go by the word of God. Amen? It's black and white. The word of God is what rules our life. The word of God is our book to go by. Amen? It's the word. What does the word say? If somebody questions that, take them to the word. Take them to the word. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his. And all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver. Some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be special. You will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. You will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, every good work. Come on, tell them, I want the Lord to use me for every good work. Every good work. Every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Amen. So I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about a few of the attributes, qualities of a good soldier. Number one, a good soldier stays focused. Amen. There is a mission. There is a plan. We're in a war, church. You are soldiers, but you have a choice of whether to be a good soldier or a bad soldier. Amen. We have choices in our life. And some people, oh, the devil made, no, the devil didn't make you do it. We have choices. We make choices. And God will help us to make the right choices. Amen. The Spirit of the living God lives within us. Amen. So the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, come on, dwells in us, lives in us, right? And so we have the power to live this life. We have the power to make right choices. Sometimes we just need a little bit of discipline in our life. Not feelings. I love feelings, but if you're led by feelings, they're going to lead you astray. We need to be disciplined enough to make the right choices in those moments when, come on, we know what to do. We know what to do. No more excuses. No more trying to think up a reason why you didn't do something you know the Lord told you to do. Well, I don't know if I was felt led. I'm going to go spend a couple hours in prayer. I get it. But it's time for us to quit making excuses. Put those to the side and start focusing and doing what God has called us to do. I'm telling you, we're in the last days. Look around. Look at what happened in our country. Look at what happened in Israel. Come on. Staying focused. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. That's why the enemy wants to get you distracted. You got to stay focused on what God has called you to do. You got to stay focused, amen, on your relationship with the Lord. You got to stay focused. Keep your eyes on the prize, amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You got to stay focused. Tell your neighbor, stay focused. Come on. Stay focused. Number two, A good soldier remains faithful. A good soldier remains faithful. And that's why he said, and in five it says, and athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. I get that. And there are some rules. People don't like to hear about rules. Well, you know, it's like, use a different word. Rules. No. Let me just say teachings or things that we know that we need to do. Amen? We know we need to stay in the Word, right? We know we need to stay in prayer. We know we need to stay in fellowship. Amen? We need to stay in church. We know these things. And when we do those things that we know, we can stay consistent and we can grow in the things of God. Amen? So a good soldier remains faithful in the things that God has shown you to do in your life to keep you strong and to make you stronger in Him. The Bible says that His Word is the bread of life. Amen? And so we need to eat the Word. Not just eat it when it's convenient. Not just eat it whenever you feel like it. But literally daily, if you will really understand that the Word of God is the bread. It's what you need to eat every single day. If you would realize it's even more important than the food that you put in your mouth, the Word of God is going to keep you alive spiritually. Amen? It's life. But you choose it. You have your own free will. God has given you that so you can choose, or you can make excuses of why you're not eating the Word. Amen? Well, I've got so much to do. Well, then you have too much to do. Amen? Make time. And I believe that we will when we realize how crucial and how important it is to stay spiritually alive by eating the Word of God. Amen? Now, when I thought about this faithfulness, are you guys still with me? You good? You good? All right. So when I was thinking about remaining faithful, it took me back to a class that I teach in the college. Some of you have taken it. I've shared bits and pieces over the years with you guys as I've ministered. But Rick Godwin wrote a book called Training for Reigning. And this book is all about faithfulness. The whole book is about faithfulness. It's about the life of David. And it shows the four places that David lived and what happened in David's life because of his faithfulness in every city that he was in. Amen? And so he first started in Bethlehem, and that's where he was a good shepherd boy, amen, and was faithful to the flock and faithful to his father, amen. And because of his faithfulness, God chose him to be king. We remember the story that he was anointed king, but he didn't immediately become king, amen. And so as soon as they anointed him, he went back out to take care of the sheep, right? Now, because of his faithfulness, God used him to bring victory, amen. And so in Bethlehem is where he fought Goliath, defeated Goliath, and became a household name within moments, right? Fame, and everybody knew who David was because he defeated Goliath, right? And so then he moved to Adullam. Now, Adullam was a different place because Adullam was a place where people were very needy. So how many knows that when you become used by God and people see that, they're going to be drawn to you just as they were drawn to David, right? God used him mightily to defeat Goliath. And so it drew people that were needy, that needed things, to David. And so there, David was in this place of, also in a place where Saul was not happy about everybody praising David, right? And so he became jealous. And he became angry at David, right? And so even when David was in a place that he needed things, other people needed things from him. And so that's what happens in ministry. There's going to be times that you're needing things, amen. But because of what you have inside of you, what God has given you, then there's going to be people that come in your life that need to receive from you. Does that make sense? So you need to be ready in that place, right? in Adullam, of being used by God because of the anointing on your life. But you don't want to stay in Adullam. You don't want to stay there. Because if you just stay there, then you're not going to move into greater things of God. Amen? And so the second place he lived was Adullam. And the third place was Hebron. And Hebron was where David learned to be faithful in relationships, in covenant. Amen? That was in Hebron. Now, Hebron geographically was the highest place, the highest mountain to go. It was even higher than Zion, right? And it was very rugged, and it was a very rough place to travel. And Hebron is in that place of struggle in your life where God is doing a work in your life, but it's not comfortable. But he's teaching you about relationships and how important it is. See, in Adullam, it's all about me. You stay in Adullam, it's what can I get? All about me, what can I get? But when you move into Hebron, you move into that place where it's not about you. It's about others, amen? It's about laying your life down. It's an uncomfortable place. But you've got to go through Hebron in order to get to Zion. Are you guys with me today? Are you with me? I'm talking about faithfulness. I'm talking about being a good soldier. David was a good soldier. We know he made some mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. Hopefully we don't make his mistakes, but you know what I'm saying. So we're not perfect people. And I don't want to talk about David's mistakes today. I want to talk about David's faithfulness today, okay? As a good soldier. And so because of his faithfulness, in Hebron you learn about covenant. You learn about relationships. You learn about not thinking of yourself, but thinking of others. Lord, what would you have me to do today? You've come out of that place as, Lord, what do you have for me today? Me, 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 me. Suddenly you're like, Lord, what do you have for me to do for you today? How can I touch other lives? And then you learn about covenant. You learn about relationships where you're not just thinking about yourself, but you're thinking about others. And you're faithful in relationships. You're faithful in covenants. Never more in our time do we need people to be faithful in relationships. You know, when things get rough, people want to run. Pastor calls it a spirit of flee, right? Instead of just staying and working through some things that might be challenging, that might be difficult. I'm talking about faithfulness. And because he was faithful in Hebron, he moved then into Zion. That's where he learned the toughest place was in Hebron. But in Zion, because he went through those and were faithful, he was able to rule and reign in Zion. Amen. And so the Bible says, John 6:53, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He explained what he meant, but for many, it was too heavy, and they walked away that day. That's what I'm talking about. There's going to be some heavy things in Hebron. There's going to be some heavy things as you walk with God, as he's doing a work in your life. There's going to be some heavy things, and you're going to have a choice to walk away. And many do. And many have. Many are called, but few are chosen. It's the hard times. It's those times you got to endure. It's those times where you don't understand. There's some things that happened recently. I didn't understand. But it's not about my understanding. It's about my trusting God. It's about me staying faithful to the things of God, staying faithful to him. When I don't understand, it's okay. I still trust him. Amen? And in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him. And this is, I know, he will direct my path. Because I'm in every area, in every place, I'm going to acknowledge him. I'm going to acknowledge him as my king. And he's going to direct my path. That's why there's times you show up in a place. And all of a sudden, God does something. And you're like, whoa. He's directing my path. My steps are ordered of the Lord. Amen. My steps are ordered of the Lord. Those opportunities that come in your life that you were not looking for. But showed up because he is causing your steps to be exactly where he wants them to be. The men that were with David and Adullam were not the same men. See, there were 400. If you remember the story, there was 400 men that came to David out of need. The Bible says they were distressed and they were in debt and they were in need. And they met him. They met David in Adullam. But in Hebron, covenant happened. And these men became mighty, mighty men of God. And so that's why sometimes we can look at someone and think, they're not going to amount to anything. And that's what David could have done in Adullam and given up on them. But he didn't. He kept pouring into them and pouring into them. I'm going to tell you something. Don't give up on those you've been pouring into unless the Lord has told you, walk away. And it happens. It happens. It's happened in my life. Let them go. We're not their savior. God uses us, amen, to encourage. God uses us to minister, but we are not their savior. Only Jesus is. And there are times when the enemy will make you think that you are the savior. And that is a lie. There is only one savior, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. But we don't give up on people just because of maybe things that they've done or things that they've said or situations. We believe in people. We believe in the power of God. We understand that God can transform a life. And that's what happened to these 400 men that were so desperate and so needy, became mighty and began to walk in covenant with David. Amen. To anoint him as king. And so be encouraged today. You may have been ministering to someone and it just seems like, how long, Lord? He didn't give up on us. Amen. So we don't give up on people. Psalms 4:1 says this, and this has so spoke to me over the years and so powerful. Psalms 4:1 says, thou hast enlarged me in my distress. That word enlarged in the Hebrew means to grow. So thou has grown me in my distress, in those dark times, in those times where you don't understand, in those times where everything is coming at you, God is wanting to grow you up in those times. The enemy wants to beat you down, but God wants to grow you. You're never going to have victory if you don't have a trial. Amen. You're never going to have victory if you don't have a war. So in those times that it is so challenging, God is growing us up. He's getting us stronger for the days ahead. Amen. He's growing us up so that we can be all that he has called us to be. In Zion, he is faithful in ruling. Until David and his mighty men stormed Zion, no man of God had ever taken it. In fact, the Jebusites taunted them and said, you can't do it because no one else has ever done it. Anybody heard that one? That's one of the enemy's famous lines. You know you can't do that. What are you thinking? Or here's one. You tried that before. You know you're not going to. No, there's no way. It's just going to be the same thing. Don't even do it. Don't even think about it. He's such a liar. This shows us that we can pull down strongholds in our lives and demonic fortifications over our cities that have been impossible to crack in the past. If we conquer Hebron, the place of covenant relationships, then we can rule and reign. Our greatest enemies, I love this. Our greatest enemies are not cancer or sickness, but the demons of disunity, disloyalty, and selfishness. That's what happens when you become covenant. When you get into a relationship, a healthy relationship, and you make covenant, you're not disloyal. You're not selfish, right? There's unity. That's why the enemy is always trying to cause disunity. Division. He's always trying to do that, causing people to get offended, causing these wrong thoughts in your head. These wrong thoughts. I don't even belong. I don't know if I left, nobody would. They're all lies. But you have to conquer Hebron. You have to conquer that place where you would in the past run, but yet now you're in covenant And so you're going to stay loyal. You're going to stay unified. You see the bigger picture. Amen. And it's not just about us. It's about what God has planned for all of us personally and together. Amen. Zion represents a corporate victory, not an individual one. It's important that we wait for God to promote us, not ourselves. God wants us to be well prepared so that we can walk in authority. We are not ready to reign until we're willing to give all to Jesus. Because God wants total victory, not partial. Amen? God does not want just part of you. He wants all of you. And He is worthy and He is worth it. Amen? And so, a good soldier, number three, is dedicated, committed, all in. And it's important to stay in your position. What part of God's army has He called you to? You are part of a team. Always remember, armies are a family that fights together. Remember, you are important and needed. Whatever position God has called you to, the enemy wants you to believe that you are not important and that you are not needed. We are an army that is put together for His purpose. Amen? And so your position, whatever position that is important that you stay in that position and not think that your position is any less than anyone else's position. God placed you there. Amen? What is it that God has called you to in this house? Stay in your position. Be faithful in that position. Be committed. Be all in. Amen? You are needed. Never believe that lie that says you're not needed. That lie that says it doesn't matter if you're there or not. It's a lie, but if you entertain it, it will cause you to run. If you entertain it, it will cause you to pull back. If you entertain it, it will get you out of the will of God. Period. No more entertaining wrong thoughts. You know they're lies. You have discernment. You know it's the voice of the devil. All he can do is lie. So it's time for you to rise up and quit listening to the voice of the enemy. Cast down every imagination and every high thing that is called above the word of God. Cast it down. Get rid of it. Don't entertain it. We are in a war and we can't entertain the thoughts of the enemy anymore. Rise up and be a good soldier. Dedicated. Stay in joy. That sounds strange. I get it. To stay in joy as a soldier, as a good soldier, because all of when you think of joy, you just think of giddy, 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 happy, happy, all this kind of stuff. No, there, it's so much deeper than that. And I love all that. I love to be happy. I love all that. Be happy. Joy is so much deeper. It's so much deeper. It's trust. It's trust. That's why as a good soldier, you can trust God. You can have that joy. That joy and that peace that comes from God. Stay in joy. Stay in joy. We quote it, believe it, stand on it. The joy of the Lord, your strength. I'm weak. Then get in joy, get in trust, get in fellowship with God. Draw closer to Him. There's joy. And the last thing, and everybody knows this, and it's probably unfortunate that we have to keep talking about it, but good soldiers don't quit. That seems so simple, doesn't it? It's not simple. Good soldiers don't quit. Years ago, I preached a message. It was called, I Need You to Survive. And it was about the body of Christ. It's not perfect. But there is something about the body of Christ that I so love and appreciate. That we band together. We always pray before praise team practice a couple of weeks ago. And sometimes the Lord just leads different ones to pray. And Christy led the prayer that night, and it rocked me. And in that prayer, she said, "Lord, we fight for each other." And it messed me up in a great way. That's what armies do. When you're in covenant and relationship, you fight for each other. You look out for each other. And you don't quit. So if I can close with this. And hear my heart. And I want to say it right. I know that as long as we have Jesus, that's it, right? I get that. But because of Jesus, we have the body of Christ. And as a pastor today, one of your pastors, I want to say this. I need you to survive. And I need you to not quit. Because what God has called us to, we need everybody in position. And he's raising us up and he's bringing in more because it's going to take more. Amen. But if you believe what God has said, and I believe every single thing he said, I have no doubt in me. I believe it all. And it's huge. And we can't do it without him. And that's awesome. But we need each other. If you'll stand to your feet. God, you're so good. You're so good. You're so great. And God, I want to be a good soldier. I want to be a good soldier for you, Lord. I want to be a good soldier. I want to help people, Lord. And God, I just thank you for the opportunity is to be in your army, Lord. And I thank you for these soldiers that you've brought all together, Lord, for your purpose. And I bless each one, God. And Lord, you have done so much already today, God, and I'm so grateful. I don't even know everything you did, but you transform lives, and we stay in awe of you. We are so grateful. But God, I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in our hearts, God, that you're continuing to grow us up to be the people that you've called us to be. So, Lord, I speak blessings over each one. Those that are watching, I speak blessings over you in the name of Jesus. Be blessed, be whole, be healed in Jesus' name. And I would encourage you to surrender all today. Whatever you're holding back, just surrender. Just say, "Here, Lord, you have all of me. And Lord, raise me up to be a good soldier." Lord, I thank you for everything you do. May you be glorified in it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. I know God has moved mightily, but if you're still in need of prayer today, just want to encourage you to come and we will pray for you. If not, you are dismissed. We have prayer meeting tonight at 7. Powerful. We need you to come and pray with us. God bless you all. Like I said, if you need prayer, come.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.